This is Barbara Ridenour returning with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 5, 2016. We'll continue with the obituaries. Linda Sue Grabowski, 63, of Forsyth, died August 3, 2016. Visitation will be held from 4 to 8 p.m. today, August 5th, at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Mount Zion. She will be laid to rest at Westside Cemetery, Moquegua, in a private family graveside service. Memorials may be made to Amy and Melanie Camfield Scholarship Foundation. Thomas J. Medell, 78, formerly of Decatur, died on March 21, 2016, in New Orleans, Louisiana. A celebration of his life will be held Saturday, August 6th, at 10 a.m. at Holy Family Church, 2400 South Franklin Street, Decatur. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Community Fund of Decatur, Sister Lucy Fund. Elaine Mashburn, 81, of Maroa, died August 2, 2016. Services will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 6th, at Calvert Funeral Home in Maroa. Burial will follow at the Maroa Cemetery. Visitation will be from 9 to 11 a.m. Saturday at the funeral home. Memorials may be directed to Elaine Mashburn Memorial Fund. Esther M. Reynolds, 88, of Lynn, died Tuesday, August 2nd, 2016. Visitation was from 10 a.m. to noon today at Millard Family Funeral Chapel in Lynn, Missouri. Mass of Christian burial will be held at 12 p.m., was held at 12 p.m. today at St. George Catholic Church in Lynn. Arrangements are under the direction of the Millard Family Funeral Chapels in Lynn, Missouri. Clifton F. Martin, Jr., 86, of Cerro Gordo, died Wednesday, August 3, 2016. Funeral services will be held at 12 noon on Saturday, August 6th, at Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home, Cerro Gordo, with visitation 2 hours prior to service at the funeral home. Burial will be in Cerro Gordo Cemetery, Cerro Gordo, Illinois. Memorials may be made to Cerro Gordo American Legion or the Brethren Church of Cerro Gordo. Iola H. Stewartson, 95, of Shelbyville, died Thursday, August 4, 2016. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. Tuesday, August 9th, in Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Shelbyville. Visitation will be from 9:30 to 11 a.m. Tuesday in the church. Burial will be in Glenwood Cemetery, Shelbyville. Arrangements are by Howanyaki Funeral Home, Shelbyville. Memorials may be given to Holy Cross Lutheran Church Memorial Fund or the American Cancer Society. Now we'll turn to the opinion page and continue with letters to the editor. VFW Post did not sponsor benefit. In regards to the letters published on July 24th and 25th, bashing the VFW about not doing their homework, we did not host the benefit. The VFW donated a room to a foundation that puts on a benefit every year to honor fallen veterans, so in turn, we honored each of the fallen soldiers with a lifetime membership. Due to us not hosting the benefit, we did not contact the families. The foundation was put on the benefit that put on the benefit did. In response to Brian Shane's comments that neither Lexi nor her grandmother was contacted, shame on you. Shane was contacted by a member of the VFW Auxiliary, who happens to be part of his family, at 2:36 p.m. on July 3rd. Shane stated that he knew of the event. Lexi Gifford is 17 and the auxiliary member felt it would not be appropriate to contact her, which is why Shane was contacted instead. So, why did Shane not share the information? It seems to me that Brian Shane and Kitty Smith should have done their homework in doing and in doing so would have discovered that the VFW Post 99 was not in charge of this benefit, and we were not responsible for who was contacted in each family. Signed, Richard Carnes. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up to Decatur, Illinois Moms, an organization that gives area moms and their children a chance to gather and socialize. The group was started by Decatur native Bailey Broderick as a way for moms to get together and spend some time socializing. It's organized through Facebook and other social media channels. The group organizes low-cost or free activities that give the mothers a chance to socialize and meet others, and the children a chance to play with others. Thumbs up to the newly formed Youth Involvement Community Project, which spent last Saturday mowing lawns and cleaning up areas on the city's south side. The new group was formed in the wake of a police-involved shooting and is aimed at steering the energies of young people in a positive direction and improving neighborhoods. Jimmy Gorsuch, one of the group's leaders, said he hopes to get the group involved in raking leaves during the fall and helping residents with snow shoveling during the winter months. About 25 youths showed up to help at the group's first event. Thumbs up to the Decatur Park District's Yellow Hats, who are celebrating 80 years of supervising summer park activities this week. The park leaders, high school and college students who worked as a summer job, wore identifiable yellow hats and kept order during the summer park offerings. The 80-year history was celebrated at the annual Lantern Parade on Wednesday, with a reunion in all former yellow hats. Over the years, at least 5,000 people have worn the yellow hat. Thumbs up to the Decatur Human Relations Commission for hosting an event exploring how to behave during encounters with the police while at the same time protecting your rights. The event, which drew about 150 people, was moderated by Robert Moore, a retired U.S. Marshal and former police chief. The advice was solid: don't get mouthy or physical, while at the same time giving good pointers on what to do if someone feels their rights have been violated. Interim Decatur Police Chief Jem Getz and Lieutenant Tony Brown with the Macon County Sheriff's Office emphasized that they want to know about officers who are not respectful, and they want to hear citizen complaints and compliments. Thumbs up to Secretary of State Jesse White for reinstating mail reminders of license renewals. White stopped the mail reminders in October as a way to save a considerable amount of money on mailing costs, but a lot of people couldn't seem to be able to remember to renew their licenses and ended up getting fined. Even though the mail reminders are back, residents can save themselves and others some tax money by signing up for email reminders, and that can be done at the Secretary of State's website. On Biz, Infusion Bar and Banquet Center, 217 Lounge, Hope's Attic 2, Man Cave Barbershop and Shave Parlor. The new Infusion Bar and Banquet Center in Decatur believes variety is the spice of life. The business has a food and drink option for everyone and is ready to host special occasions, wedding receptions, or business meetings in its banquet space that can seat more than 500. There is also an outdoor stage area. The Bar and Banquet Center is housed in the former AIW Hall at 2882 North Dineen Street. The location renovated from ground to ceiling and is featuring an outdoor patio with bar. The new owners are Decatur business couple Shannon and David Binder, who have recruited David Binder's daughter, Nicole, fresh from running a 5-star resort in Costa Rica, to manage the enterprise. Bar manager is Brylan Brown, described by Shannon Binder as a master mixologist, and Jen Strain is the chef. Drink options range from craft beers to infused cocktail drinks where, for example, vodka, whiskey, or whatever can be flavored with anything, from Skittles to watermelon and strawberry, to name a few. And we mean actual strawberry and actual Skittles, Binder said, not some flavored syrup. Infusion is a hot new drink trend. Food options go from fried pickle poppers and baked to zucchini parmesan crisps to infused offerings like a bourbon-infused barbecue meatloaf slider, Desserts include a chocolate mitten martini served with chocolate-dipped strawberries and strawberry-drizzled pound cake. Binder said people are curious about the new bar and find their curiosity rewarded when they venture in. They can't believe the transformation, she said. They have nothing but positive things to say. Infusion is open 3 p.m. to midnight Monday through Thursday, 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. Friday, and 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Friday or Saturday, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Sunday. Go to infusiondecatur.com. infusiondecatur.com or call 217-875-2416. That's 875-2416. The 217 Lounge has got your number for the customer seeking a relaxing, more mature drinking experience. The new Decatur Bar, which has had its formal opening in May at 112 North Merchant Street, occupies the former rack site, but has been remodeled to create what General Manager Kate Chiambella calls a warm, modern atmosphere. The bar is owned by brothers Chris and Cody Parks, and Chiambella said that they wanted a cocktail lounge atmosphere that would appeal to a more mature audience. In addition to a full range of drinks, the 217 Lounge stocks a free popcorn bar loaded with 16 flavors, and it offers video gaming. Gaming players can wash their popcorn down with free soft drinks. The bar is open from 5 to 11 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. Fridays and Saturdays, and closed Sunday and Monday. Find it on Facebook and visit 217lounge.com or call 217-330-8578. That's 330-8578, and that area code explains the name. We were trying to come up with names and brainstorming, and one of the customers said, "Hey, why don't you just name it the 217 Lounge?" Chiambella said. Everybody just turned around and perked up when they heard that, and we were like, "Well, that's the name." Hope's Attic 2 Thrift Store has opened in the former Dollar General store at 2922 North Martin Luther King Drive, Jr., 2922 North Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, after moving a couple of doors south of Decatur Cares Rescue Mission's longtime store location. The Reverend Doug Lowry, pastor of Maranatha Assembly of God, said the new space offers three times the room and allows the ministry to retain staff from a second store it closed last month in the 100 block of North Water Street. Decatur Cares recently downsized its operation because of a shortfall in financial support and currently operates the Water Street Mission Shelter for homeless men at 758 North Water Street. Lowry said donations may be made at the rear of Hope's Attic 2 and that donations and shoppers are needed. Cheryl Griffiths will continue as the store manager, assisted by Christy Anderson, the former manager of the Water Street store. The hours are 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Saturday. The phone number remains 217-872-8842. That's 872-8842. Josh O'Loughlin wanted to create an enjoyable experience for customers while opening a new barbershop in Decatur. The Man Cave Barbershop and Shave Parlor at 2926 North Oakland Avenue, Suite B, focuses on offering haircuts for men and boys, said O'Loughlin, who returned to Decatur to open the business. The haircuts are finished with a hot lather, straight razor shave. It's a pampering for them, O'Loughlin said. It's about making them happy. To add to the experience, O'Loughlin said the business has a pool table customers can play while they wait, along with television to watch sports. You can't have a man cave without a pool table, he said. The other experienced barber currently working at the shop is Travis Benton. More barbers could be added as business increases, O'Loughlin said. Walk-ins are welcome. Hours are 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday to Friday, and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday. Discounts are offered for seniors, children, and active and retired military and first responders. find the business on Facebook, or call 217-619-3975. That's 619-3975. A national youth gathering inspires local youth, Decatur. They called it a mountaintop experience. The 2016 National Youth Gathering in New Orleans, July 16th through the 20th, for Lutheran Church Missouri Synod teens, drew 23,000 youth, plus pastors and adult volunteers. The event began in 1980 and is held every 3 years in a different city. The first was held on a college campus, but the event has grown so large, it has long since moved to venues like the one this year, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. The idea is that they will gather youth from all across the country, and even from outside of the country, we learned this year, said Reverend Adam Ray, associate pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church. We had Germany represented in all kinds of countries outside the U.S. We gather youth for 5 days of worship and Bible study and service and fellowship. Besides Germany, people came from China, Taiwan, Canada, and Guatemala, among others. The Missouri Synod devotes a staff to planning the event, said the Reverend Douglas Bender, associate pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church. And those people spend all their time between gatherings on arranging hotels, speakers, music, and breakout sessions. One of those sessions was on body image, something with which many teen girls struggle, said Maya Tatum, who goes to St. Paul's. The session was full and had to turn some people away. It's 5 days and a lot of fun, but also worship and service events and fellowship, Ray said. Bender remembers going to the gathering when he was a teen himself, and the thing that struck him then and now is the feeling of being part of a large family of believers. I always say that the gathering is very unique and an awesome way, especially when we gather together each night at the Mass event and you see these 25,000 people together worshiping and praying and listening to the Bible studies and speakers, he said. When I was a participant, it totally reworked my idea of church and reminded me I'm not the only one in this. You're not alone in your faith. There's a lot of people who all believe the same things you do. Bender still has friends he made at the event as a teen. The friends that I've had that weren't always necessarily involved in church and youth group, this is one of those catalytic events that brings them in and helps them to catch a little bit of fire in their faith and excite them in ways they'd never had before, he said. That was the case for Wade England, a member of Trinity Lutheran Church. The experience solidified his faith in the way he hadn't thought possible. It has given him the courage to talk to his dad about his faith and open the door for some heartfelt sharing. For Boehm, a St. John's member, who describes himself as not much of a talker, it strengthened his faith. He said he spent a lot of time praying and felt God was speaking to him as well. One of the features of the event is the chance to do service, and teens packed more than 500,000 meals for feeding children everywhere, packed 900 backpacks with school supplies, built a frame for a Habitat for Humanity home, donated 791 pints of blood, made 1,000 fleece hats, and 52 of the teens donated their hair for cancer patients' wigs. In all, the young people logged 33,000 volunteer hours. The theme of this year's event was In Christ Alone, which is also the name of a worship song written by Keith Getty and Stuart Townsend. Though that song was used during the event, Spinner said, a new song written just for the National Youth Gathering was actually the theme song. The gathering always features a song written specifically for that event. The main speaker was Matt Popovitz, a pastor and church planter in New York City, and a staff writer for Homiletics, a resource for pastors. Though the 5 days of the gathering were jam-packed with events, beginning with morning Bible studies and ending with a mass worship service from 8:30 to 10 p.m. in the Superdome every evening, the Decatur group arrived a day early, giving them time to do a little sightseeing. Adult volunteer Tim Spinner created the amazing race, that's the G's in parentheses, the Amazing Race, the Amazing Grace, which sent the teens on a scavenger hunt for landmarks, including a small and little-known plaque at the corner of Royale and Iberville Streets in the French Quarter, which explains the origins of calling the southern states Dixie. "I can't pass a plaque without reading it," Spinner said with a grin. If you're wondering, the French 10-franc note was named the Dixie and was widely used in then French New Orleans, and people began calling the area Dixieland. Eventually, Dixieland came to mean the whole South. "Because the teens were wearing matching T-shirts," said Spinner, "they drew attention, including some people who came up to them to ask who they were and what they were all about. It provided golden opportunity for the teens to share their faith with someone, a chance that doesn't drop into their laps often otherwise. The one thing I miss about every gathering is that when I come back home, nobody ever asks me something to the effect of, 'What are all these kids doing here?'" Spinner said. It made him think about how important it is to share the gospel and how difficult. "I hope and pray that God can work in all of us, not just those who went to the gathering, but in all believers, to be able to openly share the hope that we have in Christ to a dying world," Spinner said. "Let us not just be the hands and feet, but the tongue that proclaims the gospel on a daily basis. I love the song that prays for God to open the eyes of my heart, but we should also pray that he opens our mouths and speaks the good news through us." In state news, Illinois, Iowa relocating mussels in Mississippi River, Moline. Divers along the Mississippi River between Illinois and Iowa have begun removing hundreds of thousands of mussels from the path of an Interstate 74 bridge project. The two states will spend $2.4 million to remove 450,000 mussels from the site. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service said the mussels will be moved to new locations to make way for the $1.2 billion construction project. The new bridge's path will impact the habitat of a variety of freshwater mussels, including three species that are federally protected. The mussels are being collected just upstream of the existing bridge. The process began Monday. Officials say the goal is to collect up to 10,000 mussels per day. According to officials, a 2014 survey estimated that there are 850,000 mussels in the construction area of the I-74 bridge project. Most of the mussels are on the Illinois side, but some are along the Iowa shoreline. Heidi Wober, a fish and wildlife biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, said that the agency hopes to measure the impact the move has on the mussels and take any information learned to apply to other bridge projects that require the same kind of move. Weber said that officials estimated that between 3,000 and 5,000 mussels will die in the process. A separate collection and relocation of mussels is scheduled for late 2020 and early 2021, when it is time to demolish the existing bridge. Construction of the new bridge is expected to begin next spring. Also on the Faith and Values page, Desires of the Heart, Parents Express Emotions, Faith in New Book, Decatur. It's hard when your only child leaves home. It's tougher still when he enrolls in the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, where communication is restricted. It's unimaginable after the death of his sister 2 years and 2 months before he was born. Yet Wally and Dana Sparks, formerly of Decatur, are getting through their latest trial as parents, much the same way they always have, by expressing their emotions and their Christian faith through their art. The result is Delight Yourself, a book pairing his poetry with her photographs, with proceeds once again to benefit the Lindsay Marie Sparks Fund at the Community Foundation of Macon County. "We all do our family charitable giving out of that fund," Wally said. The title is a reference to Psalm 37, verse 4, and the beneficiary is the same as for his earlier books, Season of Change in 2012, and When Someone You Know Loses a Child, published in paperback the following year. "I write almost every day," he said. "I enjoy the process and seeing where it leads me." This time, however, the journey was largely inspired by his wife's photographs, and she was struck by the patterns she saw in her body of work over the years. I tend toward landscapes a lot because I love photographing God's beauty, Dana said in a telephone interview from her home in Chesterfield, Missouri. But with our sons leaving for college last year, pictures helped me get through the empty nest syndrome and let us delve into something we could do together. Caden Sparks, now 19, enrolled in the Air Force Academy in June of 2015 and lives have not been the same since. His dad, a partner in the Brecknitz group of Raymond James, who still spends every part of every work week in Decatur, suddenly had more time to do something else. So over the past 18 months, he wrote the 42 poems that accompany the 44 photographs that appear in the book. When I started, a poem was verses that rhymed, Wally said. Then I started exploring the different forms, choosing the one that fit the idea I wanted to write about. My favorite is the Rondo Redoble, and the most challenging were the Sestina and the Villanelle. His shortest poem is a Thanksgiving Ethere, Peace and Stillness, that appears on page 21 with a photograph of a group of waterfowl gliding across the water at sunset. Peace, like this family seems to reflect, is my wish for you. May your time together spawn special bright memories, precious images saved for you before evening darkens the mirror, a quiet stillness captured in your heart. The one image that appears in the book that is not a photograph by Dana is a sketch by Susan Wade of the two Sparks children, Lindsay, as she looked before she died in a snowmobiling accident in 1995 at age 6, and Caden as he looked 10 years later when he was about 8. The sketch appears on page 34 of Delight Yourself. The picture Susan drew is just amazing, Wally said. Dana and I had a blast doing the project. It was fun working together. About the book, Delight Yourself is the title. Authors are poems by Walter Sparks, photographs by Dana Sparks. Publisher, In His Hands Press. Type, hardcover, 64 pages. List price is $22.50. Available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Email, oneseasonofchange@gmail.com. Copies are $17 each. Here's a few tidbits from Day by Day. On August 5th, in 1864, during the Civil War, Union Admiral David G. Farragut led his fleet to victory in the Battle of Mobile Bay, Alabama. In 1884, the cornerstone for the Statue of Liberty's pedestal was laid on Bedloe's Island in New York Harbor. In 1924, the comic strip Little Orphan Annie by Harold Gray made its debut. In 1933, President Franklin D. Roosevelt established the National Labor Board, which was later replaced with the National Labor Relations Board. In 1936, Jesse Owens of the United States won the 200-meter dash at the Berlin Olympics, collecting the third of his 4 gold medals. In 1953, Operation Big Switch began as remaining prisoners taken during the Korean War were exchanged at Panmunjom. 1957, the teenage dance show American Bandstand, hosted by Dick Clark, made its network debut on ABC TV. In 1962, actress Marilyn Monroe, 36, was found dead in her Los Angeles home. Her death was ruled a possible suicide from acute barbiturate poisoning. South African anti-apartheid activist Nelson Mandela was arrested. It was the beginning of 27 years of imprisonment. That's all we have time for the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 5th, 2015. This is Barbara Ridenour. Have a great weekend and week to follow, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.